Today's daf is Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. We're going to start on to Zayin Amud Beis. And we're up to Elorav Hemnuna Hachi Kami Boile, which is about 20 lines up from the end of the daf. And the Gemara now reformulates the Safek of Rav Hemnuna. Kigon, what was his Safek? The Aisi Machzeles Dehavi Shiva Umashahu. He has this mat, which is 7 tfachim and a little bit more in its height. V'chokak ba shlosha. And on its height, he knocked off 3 tfachim. He sort of punched it out. V'shavak ba arba. So what he's left with is only 4 tfachim umashu. The okme bipachos mishlosha. And he made sure that this mat would be close to the ground, within 3 tfachim of the ground. So he now has 4 tfachim of solid mat, plus a mashahu. He's got 3 tfachim of empty space. And he's got lavud on the bottom. So in this case, we have a mechitza of Erev that's going north and south, and it's Omed Merubal Aparutz, because we have the 4 tfachim on top, which are totally closed off by the machzelas. We have 3 tfachim on the bottom, which are closed off bidin lavud. All told now, we have 7 tfachim. We have 3 tfachim in the middle that are open. So if Avnuna wants to know, is this mechitza kshera or not? Can we rely on it? Now the Gemara offers another interpretation of Rav Hemnuna's Safek. Rav Ashi Amar, mechitza tluya iboile. Rav Hemnuna vacillated about what's called a mechitza tluya. It means a mechitza that has 10 tfachim in its height. It's 3 tfachim off the ground. So there's an airspace of 3 tfachim off the ground, which means that we have Omei Merubala Parutz, but we don't have Lavud. And the Safek of Rav Hemnuna, according to Rav Ashi's interpretation, is, do we say that since it's Omei Merubala Parutz, that's enough to validate the mechitza? Or do we say no? We only apply Omed Merubal Aparetz in a case of a mechitza that's shesi, and not in the case of Erev. Ukidaboy mine Rav Tavla Mirav, mechitza tluya mao shetatir bechurva. What they did was they found a rune, and there was a wall left to the rune that had 10 tfachim in its height, but it was more than 3 tfachim off the ground. So there was an airspace between the ground and the bottom of the mechitza of 3 tfachim. Can we be matir tiltul inside this rune on Shabbos based on this mechitza? Amalei, no. Rav responded to Rabbi Tavla, and he told him, Ein mechitza tluya materes. We cannot rely on a mechitza that is suspended in midair, where there's no lavud on the bottom. Ela b'mayim. There was a special leniency that the Chachamim allowed relying on this mechitza tluya for the sake of access to water. Kalu sheikilu Chachamim b'mayim. But in general, if not for the case of mayim, then we do not rely on a mechitza tluya. The Mishnah established that makifin bekonim b'shayara, in the case of a shayara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll see that a shayara has a minimum of 3 people to it, this is a group of people traveling together, then we can surround the camp with poles that are standing vertically, And the Gemara is now medayik from the language of Rabbi Yehuda b'Shayara in, we're only going to rely on these vertical poles in the case of Shayara. B'yachid lo, but anything less than a Shayara, which would be one person or two, we do not rely upon a machitz of kanim, which is going vertically. Rabbi Yehuda, so the Gemara now asks the following. It biyachid lo, apparently Rabbi Yehuda would disqualify a machitza shel kanim in the case of a yachid, which is one or two, v'atanya, but that's against the Braisa. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol machitza Shabbos, lo itiru li yachid, yoser mi beis asayim. That if you have machitzos that are not complete machitzos, they're either shesi or erev, they only go either horizontally or vertically, the chacham will not rely on this machitza for the sake of a yachid if that machitza will surround an area that's larger than a beis asayim, which is an area that you can plant two se'in of Zroim, up to Beis Asayim. It would seem that Rabbi Yehuda, even in the case of a Yachid, would be Matir. Whereas Amishna seems to imply that Rabbi Yehuda completely disqualifies these kinds of Mechitzo Shel Chavolim or Shel Kanim that are either only vertical or only horizontal. Here in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda seems to assume that at least up to a Beis Asayim, we can rely on these machitzos, even for the sake of a yachid. And perhaps for the sake of a shayara, we could allow for even a larger area that could be surrounded by these machitzos. So the Gemara says, Ki the Omer of Nachman. We're going to use the logic of Rav Nachman. In a minute, the Gemara is going to explain in what context Rav Nachman made this statement. Itema, others say it was Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Lo nitzricha ela Litain lahen kolt sarkon. In other words, when the Mishnah says that in these second class machitzos, fallback machitzos, we don't rely on these machitzos, that means we don't rely on them beyond what's called kolt sarkon. In other words, we will rely on them to surround an area of Beis HaSayim, but not beyond Beis HaSayim. So let's say for whatever reason they need a larger area to have access and carry on Shabbos, we're not going to allow that. Is Hachinami here too? Litein lahem kol tzarkon. Although in the case of a yachid, less than three people of a shayara, we will not allow beyond a beis asayim, but up to a beis asayim, we'll allow with this inferior kind of a mechitza. The Gemara now asks, Hechi Itmar, in what context did Rab Nachman, Vitema Rabbi Barbai, make that statement that we're going to differentiate between a Yachid and a Shayara, whereas a Yachid maximum area is going to be Beis Asayim, as opposed to the case of Shayara, where we're going to allow you even beyond the Beis Asayim? Ahad Isnan, it was a comment that was attached to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah records that kol machitza she'ena shel shesi v'erev, that it doesn't have both directions. It's not woven both horizontally and vertically. Eina machitza, divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. And it seems that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, straight across the board, without exception, disqualifies a machitza that only goes in one direction, whether chavolim that's going horizontally or konim that stand vertically. Even in the case of a Shayara, and certainly in the case of a Yachid, Rabbi Yossi, seems to disqualify these mechitzos. And on that, the Gemara asks, Umi Omer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Hachi, Vatani, we have a braisa that contradicts this statement of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah. The braisa records that Echad Yachid, Echad Shayara, L'chavolim, that a machitza of chavolim, which is only horizontal, going from east to west, is reliable not only in the case of a shayara, but even in the case of a yachid, which is less than three people. Uma bein yachid lishayor. However, there is a difference with regard to the validity of this machitz between two people and three people. Yachid nosim lo basis asayim. In the case of a yachid, the maximum amount of area that is surrounded by this inferior machitza, we called it a horizontal machitza of chavolim, is only up to basis asayim, but not beyond. But shnayim, oh, and the same thing is going to apply to shnayim, because that also is a yachid, nosim lam basis asayim, up to a basis asayim, but shlosha, nasu shayora. Once we have three people, we have a chal shem v'chayishayora, and v'nosim lahem base sheish sa'in. Then we'll give them a very large area, which is three times the size of a base sa'in. That's a base sheish. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. And keep in mind, that's the same Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who in our Mishnah seems to disqualify a horizontal mechitza completely. The Chacham disagree with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. They don't differentiate between a Yochid and a Shayora. In both cases, we're going to give them called Tzarkon, as much area as they need. But with one proviso, and that is they cannot leave an area unused, meaning just for the sake of surrounding it with mechitzos, a large area, and you're not going to use it at all. If there's a base asayim that's panui, that's not being used, that's going to disqualify the hekif mechitzos. In any event, we see from the braisa clearly that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is matir, a yachid, to be makif up to a base asayim, and a shayara up to a base sheish sa'im. Whereas in the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda saying, kol mechitza sheina shel shesivi arev, eina mechitza, which means even as far as the Shayorah, and certainly not as far as the Yachid. On that stira, Amar Rav Nachman, Vitema Rabibi Barabaye, Lo Nitzricha, Elolitein Lahem Kol Tzarkon. When the Mishnah establishes that if it's not Shasi V'Ari, if the Mechitza is not a Mechitza, that's only Litein Lahem Kol Tzarkon, to allow them beyond a base sasayin. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda certainly agrees that for a yachid we'll give them up to a base sasayin, for a shayara we'll give them, as the Brisa records it, up to sheish sitin. Dorash Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbeinu Shmuel, yachid nosnim lo base sasayim, shnayim noslem base sasayim, shlosha nasu shayara v'noslem base sheish. So Rav Nachman now is paskening like the shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda that we just formulated in the Braisa that we quoted now. And in the case of a yachid, which is one or two people, we're going to allow them with this inferior mechitza to surround an area of up to a base asayim. I'm sorry, that's in the case of one or two people, I meant to say. If you have a third party, that's a shayara, then we'll give them beis sheish. So the Gemara immediately objects, Shavkas, Rabbana v'Avdus, ki Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. How is it that you drop the ball on the Chachamim Shita? After all, the Chachamim Shita is that whether it's a yachid or shayara, we're going to allow them whatever they need. There's no limitation and no restriction on the area. Hadar ukim Rav Nachman Amora Allah. He set up an Amora who would be the one to convey and to raise the volume of his voice and project for the Talmidim. Vidorash dvorim shalmarti lufnechem tolosei biyadi. Whatever I said to you yesterday, forget about it, it was a mistake. Baram, however, the truth is, kach amru. This is the final psak halacha. Yachid nosnim lehem beis asayim, shnayim nosnim lehem beis asayim, shlosha nasu shayor, v'noslim kol tzarkon. Now it's really interesting because Rav Nachman's final conclusion, in a certain sense, is a hybrid shita, because he's accepting the difference and the restriction in the case of a yachid, as opposed to the case of a shayor. In the case of a yachid, he's going to allow you up to a beis asayim. In the case of a shayor, he's going to allow you kol tzarkon. The sky's the limit. And here we start off Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says, I don't understand. Reisha, as far as the Yochid is concerned, Rav Nachman Paskins, like Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, and the limitation is an area of a Beis Asayim, V'Seifa, Kirabonon, that with regard to a Shayara, he Paskins, that there's no limit. So Gemara says, in, it makes sense that Rav Nachman would Paskin like Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, against the Chachamim, in the case of a Yochid, Mishum Dekoy Avua B'Shita Se, because Rabbi Yossi is the son of Rabbi Yehuda, and his father Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that position of Rabbi Yossi of the son, and that is that in the case of a Yochid, we give them up to, but not beyond, the Beis Asayim, with these inferior mechitzos. As far as the case of Shayara, there we have Machlokas, whether it's up to Beis Sheish, or it's called Tzarkana, the sky's the limit. And here we're going to pass like the Chachamim. That's Rav Nachman. Amrav Gido Marav, Shlosha Bechamesh Asurim, and Besheva Mutarim. A very paradoxical statement at the face of it. You could have a Shayara that has three people, and even if they surround with this inferior Mechitza an area of base Chamesh Soim, nevertheless, they're not allowed to carry within. Whereas if they surround an area of seven soin, which is much larger by 2/7, right, they're allowed to carry. Amule, so the Bnei Yeshiva, when they heard Rav Gidl quoting Rav, they said, Omer Rav Hochi, is it possible that Rav said such a strange thing? It's counterintuitive. Omer Lahu, Oraisa, he sort of swears to them, that Oraisa Neviu Ksivi, in the name of the Torah and the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, the Omer Rav Hochi, I heard this halacha from Rav. So now the Gemara wants to explain the logic of Rav. What are these scenarios where if it's base Chamesh Soim, it's Asur, and if it's a base Sheva, it's Mutter? Omer Rav Ashi, my Kasha, don't be upset with Rav's statement. Dilma Hochi Kamer, here's what I think Rav has in mind. Hutzruchu. If the members of this Shayara, they needed an area, lemakom, that is Sheish, and all they need is six saw for their purposes, they kifu, and yet they set up a mechitza of Shesi or Erev, Bisheva, so it means they overshot their mark by one single base saw, is Afilu, Besheva Mutarim, even in this case where they surrounded the area with an area as large as seven saw in its mutar, because the only disqualification would be if they left an area open, unused, that was Beis Asayim. And here they only left one saw because they needed six, and they added an extra saw's worth. But in a case of Lo Hutzucha El Chamesh, here's a case where they needed five sa'in and nothing more, v'kifu b'sheva, and they added another base asayim that was panui, that was empty, that was not being used, is afilu b'chamesh asurim, then these mechitzos are not valid at all, because the condition in the hechshar mechitza would be that there's no area of two sa'in that is completely empty. And the Gemara now raises an objection against Rav Ashi in his interpretation of Rav. What about the Brisa that says, Ubilvad, Shalo Yehei Beis Sasayim Panui, my love, Panui Me Adam. Panui Me Adam means that if we count the number of people who are in this Shayara, and we count the amount of area that they were makif with these mechitzos, then you'll find that there's going to be one person who doesn't need any area whatsoever. What does that mean? Let's say, for example, you have three people that surrounded an area of eight se'in. Well, three people, if we grant them the two se'in that they needed, each one of them, then you're up to six se'in. And they actually surrounded an area of eight se'in, which meant that there's an extra person's worth of area that's totally panui and it's beis asayin. So let's say, for example, if they were makif, an area of seven se'in, And therefore, there's one sa'a that's extra because they were three people that only need six sa'in, two sa'in for each. But that one extra sa'a is not an area for one person. Meaning, it would not correspond to one person's need of beis asayim, and therefore, it's still kosher and it's mutter. Now the Gemara raises the following question, the objection to Rav Ashi's interpretation of Rav, that if they didn't need more than five sit-in, and they were makif the area of seven sit-in, then it's also, and it's also even for the five sit-in. Well, that doesn't make any sense, because you have a shayar of three people, and we're going to grant for those three people two sit-in and two sit-in, and let's say for the third one he only needs one saw, so he has now five sit-in, and he was makif it with an area of seven sit-in. So now what do you have? You have three people. We're going to have to guarantee and allow for each one of those three people to have two sit-in, and if that be the case, then you have to allow them six sit-in. And if they were makif seven sit-in, then there's only one extra base saw, which would not undermine and invalidate the mechitzah. So why does Rav say, according to this interpretation, that the mechitzahs are invalid? Lo, says the Gemara, that's not what the Bryce has in mind, that it shouldn't have a base sit-in that's ponimi adam, but rather ponimi kelim. In other words, in terms of the general usages of this area that's being surrounded by the mechitzas, in terms of where they put the kelim and the whole kit and caboodle of whatever needs they have, there shouldn't be an area of two sa'in that was included in the surrounding of the mechitzas that was not necessary. And therefore, Rav Ashi's interpretation of Rav is correct. And if they were makiv, an area that they needed only five sa'in, and they were makif it seven sin, you now have a base asayim, a double sin area, which is totally unnecessary. They don't even have kalim to put there. And in that case, it undermines the validity of the mechitzas. Itmar, we learned to the base medrash that if you have a shayar of shlosha, and on Erev Shabbos, they surrounded an area with mechitzas of shisi or Erev, in order to be able to use that area that was surrounded by these mechitzos, who meis echad mehen, now one of the three died, and all you're left with is two people. Or, for example, the opposite. Shnayim, on Erev Shabbos, when they were makif the area mechitzos, and they surrounded it with, surrounded an area that was more than a beis asayim, and there were only two of them. So they, At the time of the entry, the onset of Shabbos, they would not be allowed to carry in that area because we never allowed Yosef Yibes HaSayim for less than a Shayora. But then Nitzvos V'Aleihem, on Shabbos, other people came and they joined them. Now they have a Shayora of three people. Yes, on this we have Machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak. At this point, we don't know who holds what. Chad Omer Shabbos Goremes v'Chad Omer Diurin Garmim. According to one opinion, it all depends on the situation as we entered into Shabbos. And if, as we entered into Shabbos, we had a Shayora, and therefore the Hekif Mechitzos of Erev or Shasi of a Beis Asayim was, Yosef Beis Asayim was reliable, then even though one died in the middle of Shabbos, it doesn't matter. The mechitzos, as we entered into Shabbos, were valid mechitzos. They remain valid mechitzos. And in the opposite case, you started with two. That means entering into Shabbos, you had an Easter tiltil because you weren't allowed to rely on mechitzos that cover and surround an area of more than basis of time. Now you have a third person who shows up on Shabbos. Doesn't matter. We cannot now create mechitzos and be matir an area for tiltil that, with the onset of Shabbos, did not have the status of mechitzos. And that's called Shabbos Goremes. According to the other opinion, Diurim Goremes. It all depends on right now how many people are living and using this area. If we only have two people because one of them died, then we're not going to allow using this area based on Mechitzas when there's a Hekef of Beis HaSayim, there are only two people. And if, on the other hand, they were makif a great area, and there were only two people, but now on Shabbos, the third person finds his way in, he's now diurin garmim, and now we can rely on these mechitzos of a more than a base of sosayim, because we'd have three people inside this area. The Gemara says, this time the Rav Huna who diomar Shabbos goremis. I'm going to try to prove to you that it's actually Rav Huna, and not Rav Yitzchak, but Rav Huna, who holds Shabbos goremis. The Omar Rabba, boy, may Rav Huna, we ask the question of Rav Huna, ubai mi Rav Yehuda, and we ask the question to Rav Yehuda, what was the question? Erav. He set up an Erav Chatzeros on Erav Shabbos, Derech HaPesach. You have two Chatzeros that share an entranceway. And then, after setting up the Erev Chatzeros, which will allow you to carry from one chatz to the other, Nistam HaPesach, there was some sort of an avalanche of stones that closed up the opening. There's no longer an entranceway that connects the two Chatzeros, so therefore the Erev Lechor is not valid. Or another alternative case is Derech Halon. They set up an Erev on Erev Shabbos through a window between the two Chatzeros. Again, we're going to have a whole perek about exactly what the size of that chalon is, etc. But nistam chalon on Shabbos, the chalon was closed up. Mao, do we say that now the Erev is completely gone and you can no longer carry from one chatzit to the other? Or shall we say no? Since when we started Shabbos, we had a Pesach and we had a chalon, and the Erev was valid, therefore remains valid for the entire Shabbos. V'yomer li, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda gave me the response that Shabbos hold the hutra. Since at the onset of Shabbos, we had a heter to carry from one chatz to the other through the Pesach or the Chalon, then the tiltul is going to remain mutter for the entire Shabbos, even though now it's nistam, now it's closed up. So we see clearly that Rav Huna holds that it all depends upon what the situation was at the moment of the onset of Shabbos. We don't care about changes that took place on Shabbos itself. And therefore from that we can derive the conclusion that Rav Huna would hold Shabbos goremis, and it doesn't matter how many people are now in the hekef of these secondary mechitzos. It matters how many people were there when they were makif on Erev Shabbos. Tistayim, the Gemara says that's an excellent proof. Now the Gemara asks, Lema Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak, we pluk to the Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda ka miflegi. Shall we present the following thesis, that this machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak is really an ancient machlokas that dates back to the time of the Tanoim in the Mishnah, and that's Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. What's the machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda? Chotzer shenifritzo b'shtei ruchos. He's got two cases here. The first case is a chatzer, and two of the walls that surround this chatzer were broken off. Like they say in the zavit, what we call that, the 90-degree angle, the corner, it was broken on both sides. V'chein, in another case, is bayis shenifretz mishtei ruchosov. Right, a bayis has also walls that surround it, and on two sides, at a corner, the walls fell apart. They were breached. V'chein mavui, another case. And again, all this happened on Shabbos. All these breakages. And a mavui, that on Shabbos, nitlu korosov, its koro was removed, or lechayov, or its lechi was removed. Is now, we have the first opinion is Rabbi Yehuda, mutarim li osa Shabbos. Nevertheless, we can continue carrying for the balance of the Shabbos, even after this situation has arisen. Next Shabbos, however, we're going to have to fix this up. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Omer, in Mutarim Liosa Shabbos, Mutarim Gam Liosid Lavo. If you were to be Matir on this Shabbos, then if the situation remains the same, it would be fine for next Shabbos. But in Asurim Liosid Lavo, if for next Shabbos it would be Asur, because you have Nifritza, or because the Korah of the Lechi was removed, Asurim Liosa Shabbos. And we see that there's machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi about whether we apply this principle of Shabbos Holva Hutra Hutra. And Rabbi Yehuda says that the onset of Shabbos determines, And since they were full-fledged mechitzos, or there was a het of mavi with a korah lechi at the beginning of Shabbos, then Rabbi Yehuda maintains that it remains mutter for the entire Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds that we have to check out the situation as it is now, on Shabbos. And the mechitzos now are osrim, and therefore we have an isur tiltul. Is lema Rav Huna di Omar ki Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzhak di Omar ki Rabbi Yossi. So it means that Rav Huna, who is of the opinion of Shabbos go remes, and whatever the situation was going into Shabbos remains for the entire balance of Shabbos, he reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who allows you to carry from one chatzah to the other, even if on Shabbos it was nifritza, and in a mavid to carry even though there's no lechi and korah. Whereas Rabbi Yitzchak, who holds diurin garmin, he doesn't care about what the situation was then going into Shabbos, but what situation now on Shabbos, the Amik Rabbi Yossi, he reflects the shita of Rabbi Yossi, who says that everything depends upon what the situation is now in the middle of Shabbos. If we don't have valid mechitzos, then we're not allowed to carry that. I don't care what happened on the outside of Shabbos. Amulcha Rav Huna, no. Anah di Amri afilu le Rabbi Yossi. I can reconcile myself even with Rabbi Yossi. And I can accept the chumrah that in the case of nifritza mechitzos, we're not going to rely on the mechitzos that were full and valid going into Shabbos. Why? I can't look on Rabbi Yossi. Awesome. Why does Rabbi Yossi become very machmir in the case of nifritza el de les nula mechitzos? Because although entering into Shabbos we had mechitzos, now we no longer have mechitzos. We're not going to allow being metaltil, we can't be matid tiltil based on hoil v'hutra hutra when there are no mechitzos. Hacha, here on the other hand, in the case of diurin, what happened? We started with three dayarim, or we started with two dayarim, and now the situation changed. Okay, so fine, the situation changed, but that's only as far as the people inside the hekif mechitzos. But isnu l'mechitzos, nothing changed as far as the mechitzos are concerned, and therefore Rabbi Yossi would agree that we don't take into consideration any changes that happened during Shabbos in terms of the number of people that are encamped in this area. Everything depends upon Erev Shabbos, and we're going to apply the principle of hol v'hutra hutra. Rabbi Yitzhak Amar, he's going to say for his part, anah d'amri afilu l'Rabbi Yehuda, I can be reconciled even with Rabbi Yehuda, we could be lenient in the case of Chatzah Shenifritza B'Shabbos. I'd come look on Rabbi Yehuda Hasam. When did Rabbi Yehuda allow, relying on the situation of the valid mechitzos as they were in the onset of Shabbos, Ella de Isnu L'Diurim, because nothing changed as far as the Diurim is concerned. Aval Hacha, but here in the case of a Shayara, and Lesnu L'Diurim, we no longer have the same number of Diurim that we had before, then even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that we're not going to apply the principle hol v'hutra hutra. We go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Chachamim omrim echad mishnei dvarim. We can have a mechitza that has one of two things. Either it has shasi or it has air. So the Gemara asks, Hainu tanakama. Why do you have to quote the Chachamim in the Mishnah? That seems totally unnecessary, because they're basically reiterating the Tanakhama, who argued against Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah, and they said, Lo dibru shayara el bahoveh, that when the Mishnah mentions the word shayara according to the Chachamim, that was just a common case, but really we don't even need a shayara, and even if we had a yachid, we were allowed to be makif called tzarko. So why did the Mishnah now have to quote the Chachamim here at the end of the Mishnah as another shita, echad mishnei dvarim, etc., etc.? And the Gemara says, ikubeinayu yochid b'yishuv. There is a difference between the Tanakama and the Chachamim quoted at the end of the Mishnah. And that's going to be a case of a yochid in a yishuv. Until now, we've been talking about a shayara outside of the city limits, out there in the fields, and they want to be makif an area as their makom shvisa by setting up a mechitza, in this case, a secondary mechitza, fallback mechitza, which is shasiyo erev, and the Tanakama, which is the chacham that disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, he says that they weren't matir for a yachid called Tzarka as much as he wants in this secondary mechitza, that heter was only in a bika, where it's very difficult in a bika to get the right mechitzas, the proper mechitzas. But the yishuv, where you can just go into your local hardware store and buy the materials that you need to set up a valid mechitza, a mechitza gemura, which has both shasi and erev in both directions, then we're not going to allow in a yishuv a hekev mechitzos with these secondary mechitzos. And therefore, we're going to insist that they set up a mechitza gemura. The Chachamim, on the other hand, would be mater even for a yachid, and even in a yishuv, to be makif with a mechitza grua, the secondary mechitza, as much as they need. So then, according to Chachamim, basically, they disagree and reject Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. They would be matir any size and for any number of people and any location, whether it's outside of the city or inside the city. On the other hand, we have another sheet of the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and those Chachamim are of the opinion that as far as the Yachid is concerned, they're not going to allow him to be makif with this secondary mechitza unless it's in a bika, but not in a yishuv. The Mishnah now records, Arba dvarim patru b'machaneh, when the people of Israel go out to battle, and we're going to discuss two kinds of wars. There's a milchemes mitzvah and a milchemes rishus. Is this four different pturim? Pturim means heterim, or leniencies, and we drop certain halachic requirements for the sake of the soldiers who are out there in the battlefield. Number one, mevi'im eitzim mikol makom. They're allowed to confiscate wood from other people, which normally would be theft, but for the sake of the battlefield, we're going to allow this. Let's assume that this is based on the principle of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. The Bezdin can take something that's yours and they can make it into Hefker, it's ownerless. And for what purpose do the soldiers desperately need these Eitzim? We're going to need them for fuel for fire. We'll see later on exactly what's that. Number two, Pturim, Mi Merchitzas Yodayim. The Gemara is going to ask whether it means washing the hands before the meal, or what we call mayim achronim, after the meal. Number three, tmai, they're potter from tmai. That means they, the soldiers, will be allowed to buy fruits and grains from an ama oritz without having to be mafrish. And finally, mila arif. We have something called an erev chatzeros, when you have two different chatzeros. And if you found two different chatzeros inside the machne of the anshei tzava, then they would be allowed to carry even in the absence of an erev from one chatzer to the other. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, machne hayotzeis l'milchemes rishus. Even in the case of a military campaign to conquer areas beyond the borders of Eretz Yisrael, where there's no mitzvah, no obligation from the Torah law, but there's a permission. You can, again, you certain conditions, the king, the Navi, whoever it is, or the Tumim, whatever it is you need. But once you have those conditions met, then the law is mutar v'gezel eitzim. That which we saw in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to take wood, that applies even in a melchemes mitzvah and even yevashim. Yevashim means that the wood was cut down. Normally it's moist and you can't use it for fuel, the fire won't burn. But if you leave it baking in the sun for a certain amount of time, then it becomes dry and it could be excellent fuel. And even those eitzim, which are yevashim, we're going to allow, even in a melchemes rishus, we're going to allow the soldiers to confiscate these eitzim yevashim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, af chonim bechol makom, which means that the people in the machne are allowed to set up their camp anywhere, even in Rishus HaYachid, as if to say that there may be private ownership. And not only that, if one of the soldiers is killed, Nebuch, then we bury him right there, and the owner of that yachid, of that makom, Rishus HaYachid, is not allowed to object and exercise his rights of possession. We have automatic rights of burial here. Then the Braisa says, Mutar Begezel Eitzim Yaveshim. They're allowed to confiscate wooden beams or wood. So when I ask the question, hi, this leniency to take Eitzim Yaveshim from other people's fields, that's not limited to the battlefield and the soldiers. Takanta the Yeshua, when Yeshua entered into the land, he set up a takana for all of Klal Yisrael. The Omar Mar, we have a Gemara in Bava Kama and Daf Peyom in Beis. Asar Tanoim Hisna Yeshua Benun and Kol Yisrael Kshenamchlu Mesoritz. Yeshua set up 10 conditions that would apply, 10 rules and regulations that would apply to Klal Yisrael as they enter into the land and possess the land. We're only going to mention 2 out of the 10. Number 1, Sheyu Mereim Becharshin. The word Charshin means in the forest. In other words, anyone's allowed to take his animals to graze in any forest. Even the forest might be private property, and the owner of this forest area is not allowed to inhibit them from doing so. And the reason for that is because that's not really causing him a great loss, because basically we don't go out to the forest to start cutting trees and harvesting these trees for fuel purposes. So if you take some trees for fuel purposes, you don't cause a loss, and therefore Yeshua ben Nun, in order to facilitate life in the new land as they conquered the land, he allowed them to take the area of the forest for grazing area. And his second allowance was that you're allowed to collect trees from any fields of anybody, and the owner of the field does not have the right to object. And in that context, we have, again, if we had time, we would go through the other 8 takanos of Yehoshua ben Nun. In any event, this would allow for the people to settle the land, but we see that the heter of taking trees from other people's fields is not limited to the Anshei Tzava, it applies to all of Klal Yisrael. So Gemara gives a number of different answers. Hasam, when Yehoshua ben Nun said you're allowed to take wood, that was behizmi vehigi. These were different types of thorns and thistles. And that's what Yehoshua was matir, he allowed you to take from other people's fields, because these are objects that have very limited value and significance. But hacha, here in the case of Anshei Amachne, is b'shar eitzim. The leniency would allow them to take any kinds of trees from any fields. That goes way beyond the parameters of Yehoshua's takana. Inami, another answer is that hasam, perhaps Yehoshua's takana was only b'mechubarim, when the owner of the trees did not take the effort to cut them down. So now the Nochlei Haaretz are allowed to cut down these trees for their purposes. But hacha, here, in the case of Anshei Machne, a greater scope of leniency was allowed b'tlushim. In other words, even though the Bailim took a tremendous amount of effort in order to cut down these trees, nevertheless, they allowed the Anshei Tzava to take these trees away, and no one could object. Inami, a third answer. Hasam, in the case of Yehoshua b'lachin, he only allowed you to take these moist trees from someone else, but not in the case of Yevashim, where the Bailim, the owner, took the time to bake the, you know, the wood in the sun, and it's now it has a value on the market. That we're not going to allow. But hacha, in the case of Anshei Tzava, b'yevashim, even in the case of dried wood, we're going to allow this. You're allowed to do this. So the heter of Anshei Tzava goes way beyond that of the takana of Yoshua. It would apply even in case of Tlushim, even in case of Yaveshim. We found in a brayser Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer Af Chonim b'chol Mokom Mokom Shenarogim Sham Nikbarim. So the Gemara understand. I don't understand. You need a special halacha here that if Nebuch, one of the soldiers, die, we bury him in his place. Pshita Meis Mitzvah Umeis Mitzvah Kones Mekomo. We have halacha that if you find a dead body, a corpse, it can be buried in its place, and no one can come along and object. And this is also one of the takanos of Yoshua. We mentioned that there were eight other takanos amongst that list of eight. This is one of them, that a mess mitzvah is kodem akomo, and no one could object if you want to bury that mess exactly where it's located. Lo tzricha, the Gemara says, why do we need this takana? That if one of the soldiers dies, we bury him in his place. Afalgav, and here we're going to turn to Daf Yud Zayin Beis. The Islay Kovrim, the halacha of Bes Mitzvah Konam Akoma only applies when there's no one there to bury him. But if they're a Yarshim, if they're relatives that are obligated in burying the dead of their relative, that's not called a Bes Mitzvah. So we don't have a takana of Yoshua, of Mes Mitzvah Konis Mekomo in that case. But in the case of Anshei Tzava, there was a separate takana that you could bury him even if in that place, even if there are others who could bury him, and the Bala Mokom cannot be Makiv. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, Ezu Mes Mitzvah, what corpse would qualify as a Mes Mitzvah, which has many implications. Number one, it means we have an absolute obligation to bury him, and even a Kohen is allowed to bury him, although a Kohen is not allowed to be mitami to anyone other than his seven relatives, but for the sake of Mes Mitzvah. Or we have a Sugim Psochim, a person's on his way to Shech to Korban Pesach, and he encounters a Mes Mitzvah, he will bury the Mes Mitzvah, even if it means he won't be able to bring the Korban Pesach. They will give him another option a month down the line. But Kol Shein Lo Kovrim, that's called a Mes Mitzvah. But if it's Korei V'Acherim Onim Oso, in other words, if you would cry out and there are other Jews around in that place, so the Kohen doesn't have to be Mitami himself, it's not really a Mes Mitzvah, it's a Mes Mitzvah, and the reason for that is other Yisraelim can bury him. So let's derive from this Braisa the following conclusion. That just like the case of Korin, Korei V'Acherim Onim is not included on the Mes Mitzvah as far as the Kohen being permitted to desecrate his Kedushas Kuda and bury the dead, so too, such a person who, although he died and he has to be buried, but it's Korei V'Acherim Onimo, so he's not a Mes Mitzvah, and therefore he's not included in the Takon of Yoshua of Kona Es Mekomo. However, in the case of a soldier who dies, then we have this special Takona that even though technically he's not a Mes Mitzvah, nevertheless, we will bury him in that place and no one could object. Now the Gemara raises the following question, V'chi Mes Mitzvah Kona Mekomo V'tanya. Here's a case where we're going to move the Mes deliberately in order to bury the Mes, and we're not going to apply the principle of Mes Mitzvah Kona Es Mekomo, and the Braisa says that Amotzi Mes Mutol Besratya, he finds a dead body that's on a highway where the Rabbim travel, is Mifaneu Liamin Isratya, O Lismol Isratya. We will move the corpse either to the right or to the left. And at this point in the Braisa, it seems that you have an absolute choice. You want to get the dead body off the highway. You could go this way, you could go that way. But now the Braisa goes into more details. In certain cases, we have definite rules and instructions as to where to bury this dead body. For example, let's say on one side, whether it's the right or the left is irrelevant, you have a stay boor, whereas on the other side, he's got a stay near. Now, a stay near is a field that was plowed, and a stay boor is a field that doesn't lend itself to plowing at this point. Maybe after a certain amount of rain, but right now, this field has not been plowed. Is in such a case, mifaneu l'shdei bur. Why? Because if we would take the corpse and bury it in a state near, which has already been plowed, then the owner of that field is going to suffer a tremendous loss because it's quite costly to pay your employees to harvest the field. But in the case of a state boor, to plow a field. In the case of a state boor, he hasn't spent that effort or that money on plowing the field, so it's less of a financial loss. Another choice, stay near or stay zera. He's got one field on the right that was already plowed, but it hasn't been planted yet. He's got another field on the left that's already been planted. Is mifaneu l'stay near? Then he should bury the dead in the plowed field that hasn't been planted. That's less of a loss financially to the owner of the field. Hayishteyem, if both sides of this asratya are equal, for example, both fields on both sides are Neros, or Shteyem Zruos, Shteyem Buros, they're all exactly the same. Is Mefaneu L'chol Ruach Sheyirtza. Then he will bring the dead and bury it in any field that he wants to. Whether it's to the right or to the left, it's a toss-up. But we see that Mes Mitzvah is not Kona Mekomo. Amar Rav Bibi Yehocha B'mes Mutal Al Meitzar Askinun. Here we're talking about a case where he found the dead and the corpse was from one side of the road to the other side of the road. He's literally sprawled across the road. No one could pass through this highway without being what's called Mahil El Mes, without traveling over the mess. And we have two issues here. Number one, we may have a situation where Kohanim will be traveling on the road and they will contract tumah, or you could have someone who's not a Kohen, but he's what's called Osei Betaros. He is dealing with food that is tahar, so we don't want him to contract tumah. Is mitol shenitner shusel afanosim and ametzar. Once we already granted a green light to allow taking him away from this highway, so to speak. And maybe the word Meitzar, maybe I shouldn't translate it as a highway. I think a better translation would be the boundary, the outer boundary of a field. So let's say you have, the Gemara says, Mutal al Meitzar askinon, she nimtza beis mitzvah, mutal arochav kol aderech mi Meitzar Meitzar. He does translate it the way I did. You've got the outer bounds of one field, the outer bounds on another field, and between the boundaries of the two fields, there is a pathway, a highway, for the Rabban. And that's where the mess was stretched across the width of this highway, and we're allowed to move him. Once we're allowed to move him, then we can move him to this side, to that side, etc. The Mishnah continues to say, Peturim Yerachitzas Yadayim, we alleviate the Anshei Tzava, the responsibility to wash their hands on Rabbi Lo Shanu Elamayim Rishonim. They don't have to bother washing their hands before a meal. Avomayim Achronim, after the meal, Chova, that's an absolute obligation that applies even to the Anshei Tzava. Omar Abchia Barashi, Mipnei Ma, Omru Mayim Achronim Chova. What's the big deal about washing your hands after the meal? Mipnei Shemelech Sdomis Yesh, because the salt that we put on our table and we eat it in the course of a meal is very thick salt. It's called Melech Sdomis. Shemesame Yaseinayim, if Chas V'Sholom, he takes his finger and he rubs his eye and the salt enters into the eye. That's very, very dangerous. And that's why Mayim Achronim is a Chova. Omar Abayim Mishtakha Bekurta Bekura. That this Melech Sdomis, you will find a very small amount called a kurt in a midah gedola of a kur shel melech. There's a massive amount of salt, and Melech Sdomis will be that very concentrated and dangerous salt. That's a small percentage of the of this Kur Shel Melech, but nevertheless, it is so dangerous for the eyes, and it could cause blindness, Chas Shalom, that we have to be very careful about Mayim Acharonim. Amalei Rav Acha, Brei de Rav Rav Ashi, Kail Milcha. If a person has a job, he's in charge of taking care of the salt. He measures the salt, then he packages the salt, whatever he does. Kail means he measures the salt. My, is he obligated in Netilas Yadayim, which is called Mayim Acharonim? Amalei, hello, me boy, don't even ask me such a silly question. If a person who touches food with a little bit of salt on it, he has to wash his hands because he might touch his eyes, how much more so a person who professionally is involved in inhaling salt and weighing it and so forth, for sure he needs Netilas Yadayim. Now, Halacha L'maisa, the Beis Yosef seems to be more lenient today with regard to Mayim Acharonim, and perhaps it's a combination of two reasons. Number one, we don't really have Melech Sdomis. Our Melech is not Melech Sdomis. And number two, back in the day, they used to pick up the salt with their hands. Today, we put salt in a shaker. We don't get direct contact with the salt. However, even today, you'll find those open salt receptacles, and you put your finger inside. You should be more machbit about that. And also, thick salt might be Melech Sdomis. Halacha l'maisa, the poskim seem to encourage the Ashkenazim, for sure, even in our time, Mayim Acharonim. Umit Mai. The Mishnah says that the Anshei Tzava are exempt from Dmai. In other words, they could buy Tvua from an Aretz Nisnan. We have a Mishnah in Masech Tepeya, Ma'achil V'saniyim Dmai. So we see already from this Mishnah, breakthrough, a precedent for being Matir, Achilas Dmai, without having to be Mafresh, in the case of an Ani, in the case of a poor person, who has in his possessions less than 200 zuz, v'yasachsanoi dmai. They were even mekil for achsanoi. Who are these achsanoi? The achsanoi are the anshei tzava, because the Jewish soldiers that they came to battle, they were called achsanoi, meaning they were away from their homes, and we had to offer them a place to sleep. And they fought the battles of Israel against the enemies, and they also are allowed to eat dmai. Amar Rav Huna, Tana, we have a braisa that records machlokes between Beisil Beit Shammai about this very issue. Beit Shammai omrim ein machilas aniyim dmai v'sachsanya dmai. Beit Shammai really thinks that this dmai is such a serious chashash that the Amoritz who sold you the dmai was not mafish maaser. We have to consider it as tevel. We can't allow it neither for an oni nor for an anshei tzavu. Beisil omrim machilin saniyim dmai v'sachsanyu dmai. So we rely on Beis Hillel, who allows aniyim to eat dmai, and he allows anshei tzavu to eat dmai. The Mishnah says umila arev, which means that the anshei tzavu are exempt from eruv chatzeros. Amri deber Rav Yani lo shanu ela eruv chatzeros. We're only going to alleviate the requirement of Erev Chatzeros with regard to Anshei Tzava. Aval Eruvei Tchumin Chayavin. But however, to set up a leniency that allows you to go beyond the Tchum of Alpayim Amo outside the city limits without an Erev Tchumin, that we're not going to allow. And apparently the difference between an Erev Chatzeros and Erev Tchumin is that Erev Chatzeros is only Min Rabbanan. Min HaTorah, you have a Chatzer that is surrounded by mechitzos, it's a Rishus HaYochid, you can carry from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. So therefore, the Chachamim would make it with regard to Anshei Tzava, they went back to the Doraisa Halacha, and you don't need Erev Chatzeros. But Erev Tchumen, that's already Doraisa, because a person is not allowed to leave the Tchum Shabbos, Doraisa, the Tani Rav Chiya, Lokin al Erev Tchumen Dvar Torah. Rav Chiya's Braisa records that if you walk out of the Tchum Shabbos on the Torah, you get Malkus for that. You have violated a Lav Doraisa, because it says in Shmos, Perek Tes Zayin, Shvu Ish Tachtov Al Yetze Ish Mimkomo B'yom HaShvi. And this is a reference to the context of Man, and it meant you're not allowed to go all the way out of his Makom Al Yetze Ish Mimkomo. And Chazal, which is a Gemara later on in this Masechta, are going to derive from this pasuk that you're not allowed to leave the Tchum of Shabbos. And that's a Doraisa, says Reb Chiya, and you get Malkus for it. The Gemara raises the following objection to Rav Chiya, Maskif La Rav Yonasan. Rav Yonasan asks the Kasha, how can you derive from the Pasuk? Al Yetze Ish Mimkomo. V'yom HaShvi'i get Malkus V'chilokim Alav Sheba'al. Do you get Malkus when the Torah says Al? When the Torah says Lo, Lo Yetze, that's one thing, but Al? So the Gemara says that that's a mistake. Don't take that literally. We have to reformulate Rav Yonasan. Maskif Rav Acha Bar Yaakov El Meata, Rav Yonasan, are you saying that whenever the Torah says Al, we don't get Malkus? What about the Iser Lav of what's called She'elas Baal Ovi Doni? And the Torah says that Siv Al Tifnu, it doesn't say Lo Tifnu, it says Al Tifnu El Ovos Vel Hayi Doni. Is Hokinami the Lo Lucky? Are you going to tell me because it doesn't say Lo and it only says Al, you don't get Malkus? That's not true. We know that you get Malkus for this Lav. So now we reformulate Rabbi Yonasan, but rather Rabbi Yonasan Hachi Kasha, this was Rabbi Yonasan's Kasha. Again, it's going to be hard to fit into the words of Rabbi Yonasan, but anyway, this is what he asks. Lav Shanita Lazarus Mises Bezdin, this same Lav of Lo Yetze Ish Mimkom Yom HaShabbos teaches you Al Yotze Ish Mimkom. This is the source in the Torah for Meleches Hotzah, Hotzah Mishus HaRabim, Lishus HaYochro, the other way around. And you get Misa if you violate the literal translation of Lo Yetze Ish Mimkomo, which is in Lo Yotze, not to carry. Of course, it's one of the 39 Malachas. Again, we need a separate Pasuk for it, because it's called the Malacha Grua, but once we have this Pasuk, it's now included in the entire membership club of Malachas Shabbos, 39 Malachas, and it incurs a Chiyuv Skila. And we have a principle called Lav Shenitin Lazarus Mises Bes, and Ein Lokanolav, if this very Lav of Al Yetze, if we read it Al Yotze, is the lav that generates misa in the case of Hotzah, then in the case where he leaves the Tchum Shabbos, he has violated a lav that lends itself to Mises Bezdin. And one of the rules in Masechta Makis is that a lav anitan lazoris Mises Bezdin, if this lav could, in the worst case scenario, lead to a capital punishment, then it's not, even if, let's say you did it in a way where there was no asra for Misa, and they only gave you asra for Malkus, nevertheless, you would not get Malkus because it's not, there's no lav here for Azhara for Malkus, the Azhara is for Misa. And the premise of Rabbi Yonasan is that this Al Yotze Ish Mimkom Yom HaShabbos should be read Al Yotze. And if you read it Al Yotze, then the primary thrust of this Lav is Hotzah. And that's a Chiyuv Mises Bezdin as one of the 39 Malachas. And the derivation, the secondary interpretation, is Al Yotze, that we don't go out from Tchum. But now it becomes a Lav Anitan Lazarus Mises Bezdin, you don't get Malkus. So that was Rabbi Yonasan's Kasha on Rabbi Chiya. Rav Ashi wants to defend Rav Chiya. Miksiv al Yotzi. You're telling me that the simple, straightforward pshat of this pasuk is to violate carrying. It doesn't say lo Yotzi, don't carry. Al Yetze it says. Ksiv. And al Yetze means don't go out. Chutz l'tchum. So therefore the pshuto shel mikra of al Yetze is not the iser otzah, but the mashmos, the real ikar mashmos of this pasuk is the iser tchumin. And even if you'll derive an Iser Hotzah from this Pasuk, that doesn't make it into Lav Anitak Lazarus Mises Bezdin if the primary definition of this Lav is Tchumin. And this entire Sugi Rabosai represents the Shita that Tchumin is Doraisa, which is the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Now we have a Raisa Rabbi Chiya. But you should know that Chachamim rejected the Shita. And they're of the opinion that Tchumen is only Durabmana. There is one opinion that makes a kind of compromise, and if you take it out, Yud Beis, a meal, which is a very large, if you go out, that's a violation of a Doraisa of Tchumen. Hadron Olecha Mavui. And now we're ready to start the next Perek, Emirtz Hashem, Perek Sheni, Osim Pasim Libiros, and Emirtz Hashem, Bli Neder. We will study this Perek tomorrow.